Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Lisa Turkert says in her brand new book, just out today, in fact, makes this quote, "Rejection may be a delay or distraction or even a devastation for a season, but it's never a final destination." We're talking today about uninvited, living loved when you feel less than, left out, and lonely. That's the title of the new book from Lisa Turkert, best-selling author and a great speaker and a great writer. I'm looking forward to conversation today. And I don't know about you, Ted, but I was thinking about being left out. I seem to recall a time in grade school, you know, where you had to line up and, you know, some captains were picking the teams, and I don't know what it was for, dodgeball or some awful sport, you know. And, you know, being one of the last to be picked, it's like, oh, man, that's hard.
Yeah, that process. It's happening. Yeah. Kids are going around me. I'm still standing against the wall. Yeah.
And of course, the reality was that once I got in the game, I was one of the first ones out anyway, I think. So it was justified, apparently. So. Yeah. Coming up a bit later today in the program, we're going to hear a great story, a little excerpt from a story from Daniel Taylor. Daniel's a teacher at Bethel University, and he's written a wonderful book called Letters to My Children, A Father Passes on His Values. And he tells a story about picking Mary in a square dance class, and you'll enjoy that. Because it'll tie in with our conversation today.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think about the Olympics going on right now and the setbacks and the agony of defeat and all that happens. But then 4 years later, they come back in some cases and they get that medal. They get that goal, the perseverance of not giving up. I mean, that ties in there, too.
Well, say, speaking of Olympics, if you want to do your own Olympics, it's still time to jump into the Live Free Challenge. It's going on now through this month. And we've got details on our website at myfaithradio.com. And it's for something better than a ribbon, a medal that will fade away, as Paul talks about. No, this is about helping to alleviate injustice in our world today. It's a partnership with the International Justice Mission to work to rescue victims and repair broken justice systems. So check it out. Great opportunity. Live Free Challenge is going on. You can still jump in and be a part of that. And speaking of jumping in, we're going to jump into the point as John Stonestreet sort of sets up the conversation today, I think, with Lisa Turkert about, you know, kids feeling insecure and all those things. You want to listen to this.
What happened to childhood? For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stonestreet with The Point. We're in the middle of a colossal unintended social experiment. Mobile technology is reshaping every aspect of our lives, especially how we grow up. Writing at the Washington Post, Jessica Contreras paints a chilling portrait of what it's like to be a 13-year-old girl in the age of likes, LOLs, and longing. One eighth grader named Catherine spends her days doing homework on two laptops and her free time browsing Instagram on her phone. She says she doesn't feel like a kid. I just stopped doing everything I normally did, she says, playing games at recess, playing with toys, all of it done. Her top priorities now? Getting likes on Instagram and meeting boys on Snapchat. Folks, it's time we worry about more online than just bullying and upgrading. Our kids are overdosing on technology, and it's robbing them of their childhood. Getting a handle on this will mean getting familiar with the off switch. For some help, see the book Screens and Teens by Kathy Cook. That's Screens and Teens by Kathy Cook, K-O-C-H. I'm John Stonestreet.
On today's Connecting Faith, we're going to talk about a wonderful new book that I believe will be some real encouragement to you today if you feel particularly uninvited. And we're going to describe what that means in a moment. Let me introduce my guest, Lisa Turkert, the best-selling author of The Best Yes. She's president of Proverbs 31 Ministries, and she writes, as she says, from her sticky farm table in North Carolina. Apparently, North Carolina is not the only place that has those sticky tables, so you can be encouraged by that. She has a crush on her husband, Art, who she's been married to for 24-plus years, and they treasure every minute they can get with their four married kids and one teenager who still keeps them very young. And we are excited to find out about a new book just out called Uninvited, Living Loved When You're Feeling Less Than, Left Out, and Lonely. Lisa, first of all, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you so much. It's a joy to be with you.
I'm just wondering if the idea of the the less than, the left out, the lonely, is that something that's maybe just common to all women occasionally, or is there really a group of people who live in that lane all the time?
Well, I think especially because one of our deepest needs as human beings, not just women, but men as well, one of our deepest needs is to be loved and accepted. And when the opposite of that happens, because maybe somebody rejects us or they make a statement or do something that makes us feel left out, less than, or lonely, I think it really hits at the opposite of our core need. And it gives us the sense that that something's wrong with us. And I think that cuts across all age barriers, all gender barriers, I mean, all socioeconomic barriers, all race barriers. I mean, all of us have a fundamental need to be loved and accepted. And when we experience the opposite of that, it is crushing.
And I mean, you talk about rejection. I guess I'm just wondering is it's one thing to maybe be, left out or lonely or feeling less than, but does that equal rejection?
That's a great question. So here's what usually happens in our life. At some point in our growing up years, most of us have some kind of traumatic event, and it could be as traumatic as a parent abandoning us or a really severe breakup with somebody we thought that loved us, or even a statement made in middle school that made us feel utterly rejected by our peers. Usually we have some kind of an event that is our grand introduction to this really hard thing called rejection. And that initial event creates a trauma. And actually, the pain of that trauma is so severe, it mimics physical pain in the body. The pain of rejection and the pain of physical rejection actually travels along the same neural pathways. And so we not only feel it emotionally, but we feel it physically as well. So that becomes a trauma in our life. Now, later in life, if we feel left out, if we feel less than, if we feel lonely, that can very easily trigger that pain that we experienced from the trauma that was in the past. Now, all of a sudden, it comes into our present situation, and just slightly feeling left out when the pain of a past trauma is combined with a present trigger, that can all of a sudden make us have an out-of-proportion reaction to something that feels like, wow, that was a, if we were able to step back, we would say, wow, that was a pretty small event. However, I really blew up over that. And it was interesting. I saw on the news the other night that 85% of people have participated in road rage. Mm-hmm. And I find that astonishing. And yet, based on all my research of Uninvited, if someone cuts you off on the highway, it can very easily trigger the pain of when someone has cut you off in life. And we have these out-of-proportion reactions. Like, all of a sudden, we feel like someone has just done an epically horrible wrong thing, and all they did was cut us off in traffic. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it takes past pain, brings it into a present situation, and makes us have a completely out-of-proportion reaction to our hurt.
It was surprising when I read that, as you shared that, I mean, this kind of trauma is real pain, which, you know, maybe should help us understand that it's not something that we can just sort of brush off or look over, that it has to be dealt with, doesn't it?
That's right. And also, I wrote about in Uninvited how a statement made by somebody that they couldn't have, I mean, that maybe they meant it to be hurtful, maybe they didn't mean it to be hurtful, but a simple statement that one line that they spoke to us can easily come into our heart and land with such a thud that it turns into a lie that we believe about ourselves. And then the enemy takes the lie that we believe about ourselves and turns it into a label that we put on ourselves. And that label can easily turn into a liability that we do a dysfunctional dance with the rest of our lives. And I tell a story about how this happened to me in high school. There was a guy who came up to me, and the line that he spoke to me was, wow, Lisa, you'd be really beautiful if you didn't have such big ankles. Well, I cannot tell you why that affected me so much, but what I can tell you is that line that he spoke to me turned into a lie that I believed about myself. I truly started to believe about myself that I was spiritually and wonderfully made, except for these horrible ankles that I had. And then that lie that I believed about myself turns into a label I put on myself, and the label was, I should never, ever wear dresses. Hi, my name is Lisa, and I don't wear dresses. That became my label, and then that turned into such a liability. Do you know that for nearly, I just had my 47th birthday, and for 30 years, I did a dysfunctional dance with, every now and then I would try to buy a dress, but I just would never, ever wear it. And so last week on Instagram, I decided to take back that ground, and I not only wore a dress, but I did something very uncharacteristic of me. I actually took a selfie in the dress, and I posted it on social media, and I said, girls, wear the dress. And I cannot tell you the number of women that said, wow, I never realized that I had a lie that I believed about myself that turned into a label, that turned into a liability. Me too.
We're going to unpack more of Lisa Turker's great new book called Uninvited in the moments ahead. The subtitle is Living Loved When You Feel Less Than, Left Out, and Lonely. Lisa is a best-selling author of The Best Yes and president of Proverbs 31 Ministries. And you can find out more about this great book at her the website uninvitedbook.com. We're going to continue in just a moment here in Connecting Faith. Hey, and by the way, we've got three copies of this great new book to give away, and I know you're going to want to sign up for it because it's a wonderful read, and it'll really be an encouragement to you or someone that you know and care about. So give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, and just give Chris your contact information. We'll put you in the drawing for three copies of Uninvited, Living Loved When You Feel Less Than, Left Out, and Lonely, and there's more to come. Lisa Turker, my guest today. We're talking about her new book, Uninvited, Living Loved When You Feel Less Than, Left Out, and Lonely. And Lisa, you just shared a little bit about that, you know, that one line from a high school experience and how that stuck with you over these years. But you're very open in this book about your own experiences. And, I mean, you've struggled with more than just, you know, someone talking about ankles. I mean, there were some real honest hurt revealed in this book. Share a little bit about that, if you will.
Well, one thing I share in the book that I think many people will be able to relate to is that I had a pretty deep father wound growing up. My father and my mom divorced when I was young, and then because of some issues that I couldn't have possibly understood as a child, my dad left our home. And when he left, I knew that he was no longer physically present, but his emotional absence in my life is what hurt most of all. And I started to tell a story to myself that if I wasn't even good enough for my dad to stay, I might not be good enough for anyone to stay. And so I started looking at all people, all relationships with a great deal of skepticism and kind of trying to protect myself. Like, I know one day you're going to reject me, abandon me, leave me. So therefore, I'm going to always have a slight wall up in our relationship so that we can't get close enough where you will hurt me when you eventually leave me. And so I think as people read Uninvited, I think they'll be able to really identify, maybe theirs wasn't a father wound, but they can identify with what it feels like when someone you love walks away. And here's one thing I think that's really important for people to understand is, you know, when someone we love dies, there is a deep grief, but at least we know that person didn't want to go away and we didn't want them to go away. So we almost share the grief with that person. It's like we almost share the hurt with the person we lost. And something about that is at times comforting to us. But when the grief is from somebody rejecting us, it's the pain is doubly hard because the person walking away from us, they might feel relieved to be out of our lives, but even worse than that, they might actually be happy to be out of our lives. And so we have the grief of losing the person, but then we have the double grief of knowing they very well might be really, really glad to have me out of their life. And that feeling of rejection in those moments can be harder than grieving over a loss of death.
Do you think there's a lot of people that just are living with past rejections that don't know how much their present relationships are affected by their past? I mean, they haven't maybe been able to dig down deep enough to find out what is the source of this?
Absolutely. Because I think every day we get these little triggers, like I was mentioning earlier, and it usually is compounded by an original trauma that we have in our life. In Uninvited, I wrote, "Rejection steals the best of who I am by reminding me of the worst that's been said about me." And so I don't just leave people in that feeling of, yeah, Lisa, you're right, rejection does steal the best of who I am. I then take them to, okay, now that we've located the original source of our pain, that original trauma, that the triggers are kind of haunting us each day, now what do we do about it? So in Uninvited, I take people through this journey of understanding how to live love. In other words, how to look at the people in our lives every day, and instead of begging for scraps of love from those people, to be so filled up with God's love that we can approach those people with not what can we get from them, but what can we give to them. And so if rejection steals the best of who I am by reminding me the worst that's been said to me, living love, living so full of God's love, reminds me of the best of who I am by reminding me the best of what God has said about me. And God says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God says that he loves me and he will never forsake me. And so I think I take people on this journey of understanding, yes, rejection hurts and it's hard and it can be very traumatic. And I'm very open about many, many stories of when I was rejected and how painful those were. But I don't just leave people to sit in the pain. I actually pull them up with the reality of it is possible to live loved.
Right at the outset of the book, you review three kind of core questions that we need to address. I mean, to begin this process of understanding maybe our real identity, just review those important questions.
Yes, I'm so glad you asked me about this, because I think sometimes when we experience the rejection of someone that we love, like when I experienced the rejection of my father, his love that was supposed to feel like a security blanket to me as a child, it turned into a question mark. And when my father's love went from being a security blanket to a question mark, I almost tried to figure out, does God feel the same way about me? Like if my earthly father felt like I wasn't good enough for him to stay, could God possibly feel that way about me too? And so I teach people how to wrestle well with three questions in Uninvited. The first is really wrestle well with the reality that God is good. And so you ask yourself, do I believe that God is good? The second thing we have to wrestle well with is God good to me? So is God good? Is God good to me? And then the last question is, we've got to settle in our heart, God is good at being God. And that's where the real trust comes. That's where that filling up of our heart comes, that we trust that, yes, circumstances can be hard, and the world we live in is broken, and God did not intend it to be this way, but when sin entered in, things got very, very complicated and difficult for us. But here's the glorious, glorious news. God is still in control. God is good at being God. Therefore, that's the lens through which we have to look at our entire life and trust, yes, God is good and God is good to me.
Such a good word from Lisa Turkhurst. Lisa, you talked about, you know, living love, but, you know, it's one thing to live love maybe if you feel loved, but if we don't always feel loved, what do we do then?
Yeah, that is something that I'll tell you, there are days, just being completely vulnerable and honest, there are still days that I wrestle with this, and I think it's probably so much a part of our human realities that we're probably always going to wrestle with. I cannot promise that Uninvited is going to be the be-all, end-all to make you always feel loved, because the reality is there will be some days when the hurt and the heartbreak of life you will feel it very, very deeply. But here's what I know Uninvited will do, because it's done it for me. It will give us tools to be able to look at our feelings, validate that those are real, but then stand in a place of truth and let truth be the thing that dictates what we see. I'm a big believer now that what we know, the truth, must dictate what we see, or what we see, those hard circumstances, will start to violate what we know. And for me, I can just be very, very honest with you. Before Uninvited was even coming out, just when I had page proof in my hand, like printed off pages that the editor sent back to me to read through and do some of my final edits, there were nights that I literally curled up in bed and wept, thanking God for giving me the message of Uninvited, because I feel like I needed it the most.
You know, there's that old pop song. It's probably still true today, isn't it? People are looking for love in all the wrong places. You talk about the difference between grasping and grabbing. Say a bit more about that.
Well, I think if we don't grasp the depth and the reality of God's love, that we always will be grabbers for scraps of love from other people. And so I think it's really, really crucial for people to understand that other people will always be slightly fickle, fragile, forgetful. Like, the reality of human relationships come in packages of potential, not packages of perfection. And it's really crucial that we understand that we will more easily be able to give grace to other people when we recognize the depth of God's love for us. And so I know, because I've experienced this in my own life, if I walk into my office today and I think to myself, boy, I hope somebody compliments my outfit. I hope that someone makes me feel validated in that meeting. I hope somebody really makes me feel encouraged about my job today. If I do that, then I am grasping at other people, and my neediness can really honestly become a greediness as I have these expectations of everyone else. Instead, if I will walk into my office today and I will think, look at all these people and all the potential that I have to encourage them and bless them and love on them, when that's my perspective, I will walk away feeling loved, because I've brought such an atmosphere of love to my office.
Talking with Lisa Turkhurst today, she has written a brand new book called Uninvited. The subtitle is Living Loved When You Feel Less Than, Left Out, and Lonely. And in the moments ahead, we'll talk a little bit about some of those as well. Maybe you have some triggers that even just hearing those words, you're thinking of something comes to mind. How do we, stop from assuming the worst about that others are thinking about us? How do we deal with social media that seems like it leads to rejection so quickly, and maybe helping not only us but our kids as well? Lisa Turkhurst is best-selling author of The Best Yes and president of Proverbs 31 Ministries, and is joining us today on Connecting Faith, and there's more to come in just a moment. And we've got three copies of Lisa's new book, Uninvited. You can sign up for the drawing for that, 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Listening to Connecting Faith, and today we're talking about Uninvited, living loved when you feel less than, left out, and lonely. You know, we're in a world of 6 billion people, and yet loneliness is a reality. Lisa, I know you, Lisa Turkhurst, by the way, the author of The Best Yes and president of Proverbs 31 Ministries, and how you tell a story about, you know, just coming into a room at a party and being there's proximity, but that doesn't mean that there's really relationship. I think we've probably all been there a time or two.
Well, that's so true. You know, sometimes when you walk into a room full of people and you don't feel instant connection with someone or a group of someone, you can feel very, very isolated and very alone, even in a crowded room. And so I wanted to address this in Uninvited because I think it's really easy to walk in and have this expectation that everyone else is going to make you feel invited in. And the reality is, I've learned, if I walk in with that expectation, I'll probably quickly be disappointed. But if I walk in and I look around the room and I identify some people who I think need to be invited in, and I take that first step, like I go first, then I will bring such an atmosphere of joy and acceptance. I can change the atmosphere in an entire room just by bringing the fullness of who God is into that room. And God is peace, and God is joy, and God is love. And if I bring that into the room, then I look at the opportunity of a crowded room in a completely different way. Because I'll tell you, I am an introvert forced to live the life of an extrovert. So I wrote that chapter from my own pain.
You know, you you also share, too, and I think many of us can relate to that, we assume the worst and assign negative thoughts about us to others. So what's the key to breaking that cycle?
Well, in Uninvited, I wrote this chapter called There's a Lady at the Gym Who Hates Me. And the reason that I wrote that chapter is because I had an experience where a woman who was working out on an elliptical next to me got really, really, it seemed as if she got really annoyed with me, got off the treadmill and huffed over to an elliptical machine, and that was that. And so every time I would see her at the gym, I would feel so insecure, and I would assign thoughts to her that I just assumed she was thinking. And then one day, she walked out of the bathroom at the gym, and she smiled at me. And it was the most astonishing thing because it wasn't like, hey, I'm about to really out elliptical you today. It wasn't some sort of competitive smile. It wasn't even a pity smile. It was a truly like, hey, so glad to see you today smile. And all of a sudden, as I got on the treadmill that day and I started processing with the Lord, I felt as if the Lord was teaching me, Lisa, because of perceived rejection, you sometimes assign thoughts to others that they never think. You sometimes assign rejections to them that they've never given you. And that was such a powerful lesson to me. There are in this world absolute situations where I have been rejected by people. But I just wonder sometimes, how many other times have I felt rejection when it was nothing but my own thoughts and my own insecurities?
Well, it certainly seems like teenagers maybe, you know, more than at any other time are really just so needing acceptance. And, of course, now social media, I mean, adults as well. But we can all be kind of taken aback and feel rejected, maybe whether we are or not. What are your thoughts on, you know, how we sort of keep a guard on social media so that it doesn't ruin our understanding of who we are in Christ?
That's such a good question. You know, never before have we had the opportunity to so intimately peek inside the lives of other people, but we have to remember we're doing it from a very filtered angle. In other words, when we look at other people's marriages and they appear more romantic, when we look at other people's kids and they appear more successful, when we look at other people's careers and think that they're skyrocketing quicker than ours, we have to remember that for every one of those carefully chosen, carefully filtered pictures, there are probably 100 other life events that aren't quite so polished. And so we have to remember when we're looking at social media to keep it all in perspective. And then we also have to make the commitment that as we participate in social media, that we are going to look at our social media account as an opportunity to bless others, not to brag to others. And it's so easy. Like, tell me if you've ever been guilty of this. Have you ever looked at, like, you and your family get together and you've taken 10 pictures, okay? Have you ever looked at the group of 10 pictures and your eye is first drawn to yourself and you're going to say, hey, I think we should use this picture. And in reality, you've chosen that picture because that's the one that makes you look the best.
Sure.
I don't know if you've ever done that.
Sadly, yes, guilty.
And I'm guilty of it too. And so I've really felt challenged. It's not that I'm encouraging people at all to like bash social media. That's not it. I think social media can be good, but we have to decide that we're going to use our social media in such a way to maybe be a little less filtered, you know, like maybe don't always take the picture that makes us look the very, very best. And maybe every now and then do something that kind of paints the reality of some of the harder stuff of life and put out quotes and put out Bible verses and things that really bless people instead of just making it all about us. And I, you know, I think we all have a story, and then we all have a story we tell ourselves. And let's make sure that it's not other people's words or the enemy's words that become the words of our story. Let's make sure that it's God's words that become the words of our story.
Lisa, you know, there are many who are listening today who have experienced real hurt and rejection, have some deep scars, not just perceived. So how do we overcome the anger and bitterness? I know you list some things to remember when we are rejected. Let's talk about some of those.
Yeah, well, I would say one of the biggest things that I want people to remember is that we shouldn't bash, trash, or rehash our hurt on social media or on the internet, because the internet never, ever forgets. So I really want people to remember that. And then I also want people to remember that sometimes the deepest rejections, the ones that we just think, well, no good could ever come from this, honestly, sometimes my deepest rejections, when I give it enough time, I look back on it now and see that those are actually some of God's greatest protections. And I really, really want people to understand this as they process rejection and as we work through the material and Uninvited, that rejection may be a delay, it may be a distraction, it may even be a devastation for a season, but rejection is never a final destination. We are destined for a love that can never be shaken, taken, tarnished, or diminished. We are destined for a permanent love, and that permanent love is a surrendered heart to Jesus Christ. That's really, I really want people to get the depth of what that means. When we surrender our heart to Jesus, the depth of his love in that moment, and honestly, the depth of his love even before we surrender our heart, but there's something so precious, and I think because as Christians, it so easily rolls off our tongue. Oh, yeah, God loves us. Oh, yeah, Jesus came and died on a cross for God to love the world. I think those things so easily roll off our tongue that sometimes we forget how it connects to the hurtful events of our everyday life. And I think Uninvited will really help with that.
As you talked about, you know, delay and distraction is not a destination. I think you used the phrase, sort of difference between set aside and set apart. Say more about that.
Well, I had an event that I went to, and everybody had assigned seats, and when I got there, I realized I was assigned to sit at a table where the other people had either, maybe it was because of the travel delay, or maybe it was because of another conflict, but regardless, I was sitting at a table that was set for 10 people, and I was all by myself, and the banquet room was packed, and I was the only one that had this assigned seat at a table that no one else showed up for. And so I remember sitting there and I was thinking, really, God, seriously? Like, could I not have been placed at another table, or could the people at my table, I mean, Lord, just like, could you at least arrange so that one other person could be seated here with me? And it didn't come right away, but over the course of those painful moments of processing that turned into like 10 minutes by myself, 15 minutes by myself, an hour by myself, about an hour into the banquet, I felt as if the Lord were saying, Lisa, you are not set aside in this moment. You're not. Like, you're not. I allowed this, and it was so that I could speak to your heart. You're not set aside. You're not cast aside. You're not tossed aside. Lisa, you are set apart. And I just wanted a few minutes where you were forced to be quiet so you could really, really listen to me. And if all the other people would have shown up at your table, you would have been so invested in conversation with them that I couldn't have spoken this message to you loud and clear. And you need to know this. Like, before you continue in ministry, before you step on another stage, you know, you really need to know, Lisa, You are not set aside. You are set apart for a high and holy calling. And I don't think that's just because I'm Lisa Turkers, the author. I think that's because I'm Lisa Turkers, a child of God who needed to know that. And so I wrote about it, and I'm invited.
There were three words that kind of caught my attention as I was looking through the book, abiding, delighting, and dwelling. And I was thinking, you know, those are words that maybe don't seem to square with our fast-paced kind of full-bore lifestyle. But as you just described, I mean, to really hear God's voice, we need to you know, gravitate toward the abiding, delighting, and dwelling, don't we?
That's right. I write in the book that Jesus isn't into the rat race, into our fast-paced lifestyles. You know, Jesus isn't into the rat race. He wants us to trust him with our pace and our place. And he's into the slower rhythms of life, like abiding, dwelling, just being with him. And I think when we understand that, we recognize that we need to go to God every day. We need to abide with him. We need to dwell with him. We need to sit with him. We need to be with him, because the tweaking of us in the quiet will be the saving of us in public. And I cannot tell you the number of times that I would go in the morning and sit with the Lord, even if it was just for 5 or 10 minutes, and he would give me like a Bible verse. And I would have no idea why this Bible verse would later become so important in my day. But it's almost like Jesus prepares us in the quiet to face what we will then be able to put on display in the public. And it's been amazing to me how I'm reminded over and over and over again, Jesus is not into the rat race of life. He wants me to trust him with my pace and my place. And he's into those four rhythms of life, the abiding, the dwelling, the resting in him. And if I can remember that, I'll remember to be with him before I go out for him.
Lisa, time's just about gone, but I'm wondering if you can just maybe offer some encouragement, recommendation, maybe something that we pray for, or how we, you know, pray in the next week or 10 days, or maybe the first step that we take to try and just understand what it means to live love.
Well, I would say that it's really important to remember that we cannot hold up the banners of being a victim and the banner of victory at the same time. And it really comes down to our choice. We will all experience times in life where we do feel left out, less than, and lonely. There are going to be times where really hard rejections come. And so I wrote Uninvited for you to hear another person who has wrestled with these feelings of rejection. And I have finally figured out how to let down my banner of being a victim and raise my banner of victory and say, you know what, Lisa, you know what you feel in your name, there is an abundant need for you, for your exact brand of beautiful in this world. And I want you to learn to live loved, so that you can discover not only the essence of the depth of God's love, but so that you can be more successful in your relationship, in your all of your relationships, and learn how to more effectively receive love and give love to other people.
Pray that that would be so as we learn about a love that doesn't reject or uninvite. We're talking Uninvited today. The subtitle of Lisa's new book is called Living Loved When You Feel Less Than, Left Out, and Lonely. And it's new from Thomas Nelson. Lisa Turkhurst is the best-selling author and president of Proverbs 31 Ministries. And you can find out more about this book and her work at uninvitedbook.com, uninvitedbook.com. Lisa, we're honored to have some time to talk with you today, and blessings as you continue to provide this important ministry.
Well, thank you so much. It's always really, really fun to be with you and Faith Radio.
The new book just come out today. We've got 3 copies. We'll give them away here at the top of the hour. You want to sign up, call us now at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Here's how Lisa ends her book. She says, I'm destined for love that can't ever be diminished, tarnished, shaken, or taken. With you, Jesus, I'm forever safe. I'm forever accepted. I'm forever held, completely loved, and always invited in.
The weirdest places, broken souls with smiling faces, fighting for surrender, for now and the after, yeah. Just look around and you see that people are scared to say how they really feel. All we all need
side zeros alight, not expecting, but not quite perfect yet. Yeah. Look up, see the sun is shining. There's hope on a new horizon. Calling you, it's calling you. Are now if your heart's in a thousand pieces, if you're lost in a far from reason, just look up, know you are loved. Just look up, know you.
If you don't get anything else out of the conversation today, that you'll hang on to that thought, that we are a child of God, created in His image. He loves us more than we can know. You know, the enemy wants us to feel rejected, left out, lonely, and less than. Lisa Turkhurst has helped us today with how we can live love. And the book, great new book called Uninvited. And thank you for calling. We'll do some a drawing here for three of the copies that are available here at the end of the hour. But thought before we wrap up today's program, thought of a conversation I had with Daniel Taylor a couple of years ago. Daniel is a longtime professor. He's a writer. He's a speaker. He's written several books. And one of the books that he wrote some years ago is called Letters to My Children. And in that book, he tells a story about an experience he had when he was just 12 years old. And it was a reminder that, you know, God invites us to be His agents of love and grace to others as well. And I want you to just listen to this story about Mary getting chosen from Dan Taylor.
12 years old, it was the peak of my life, actually. My life peaked in sixth grade. It's really a sad thing. But I was the most athletic, the most intelligent, the most desirable to the opposite sex when I was 12, and it all went downhill after that. But I had this assistant teacher whose name was Miss Owens, and we did this thing that was really terrible, and I'm sure they don't do it anymore, but we had to learn how to dance, and I was raised fundamentalist, and that was problematic, but it was square dancing, so that barely edged in. But when we went to work on our dancing, the boys would all line up at the door, and they one at a time would pick a girl, you know, to be their partner. And, of course, it was horrible. It was horrible for the boys. I didn't want to pick a girl. It might give me away or something. But it was worse for the girls because it's a pecking order, you know. And there was this girl named Mary, and she had had polio, and she walked with a limp. She had one arm drawn up. She was overweight. And Mary was always the last girl picked. Seemed natural to 12-year-old boys. So Miss Owens, who was my assistant teacher, takes me aside one day and says, "Dan, next time we have square dancing, I want you to choose Mary." And it was just so inconceivable to me that, I mean, I thought it was like breaking the law of nature or something. As I say in the story, it's like purposely trading a Mickey Mantle baseball card for an Andy Pafko. You know, why would you do that? And then she did a really mean thing. She said, "It's what a Christian should do." And I immediately thought, oh, she's exactly right. You know, I could just, you know, I said it had to be somewhere in the Bible. You know, Jesus choosing the lame girl for the yeshiva dance or something. It was bound to be there. And so agonized. I mean, this was days ahead of time. And so finally came time to square dance again. And I'm just praying to God, make me last in line. You know, if I'm last in line or near the end of the line, I'll pick Mary. You know, that's where she always gets picked, and I've done exactly what Miss Owens said. But, of course, the teacher made me first in line, and I'm sure Miss Owens had been talking to the head teacher. And so he says, "Okay, Daniel, choose your partner." So I just kind of felt numb, like I was elevated out of the space, and I just heard my voice say, "I choose Mary." And she she was looking down at the floor as she always did. All the other girls were looking kind of brightly, like, pick me, pick me. And this look came on her face of just joy and surprise and embarrassment. And I just, as I say in the stories, I just had to look away because I'd never seen a look like that, and I've never seen one since. And I knew I didn't deserve it.
Hmm. You know, the reality is none of us deserve God's love, and yet that's how we can look when we see him in the person of his son, Jesus, saying, I pick you. Joy and surprise. I hope you can experience that today in a fresh new way. It's Daniel Taylor, who's a professor at Bethel University and the author of a number of books, including Letters to My Children. That was where that story is from. It's from a conversation a couple of years back. You can find it on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com.
I think we all struggle with inadequacy. I think shame is hell's greatest weapon against us.
We all have certain weaknesses, don't we? But through them, we can grow stronger. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas for Making Your Life Count. Recording artist Jason Gray, who has a speech handicap, explains how God can use our inadequacies for his glory.
I think we are always tempted to bring the Lord our strengths. We think that that's what he wants. And that's good. That's a good thing to do. I think it's honoring. But I think he's also waiting for us to bring him our weaknesses. And I think he gets his best work done through our weaknesses. And so those of us who feel inadequate, I would hope that I could offer you some assurance that that's okay. That might be exactly what the Lord wants to use.
So be transparent, even in your weaknesses. God can use them for his glory.
Jason Gray singing a great tune, a reminder of who we are in Christ. Jason giving us some great thoughts here on Steve Douglas' program, Making Your Life Count. And thanks to Dan Taylor for that good story as well, and for Lisa Turkhurst. What a great hour, Ted, just to really focus on the importance of living loved, even when you feel less than, left out, and lonely.
Boy, we need that reminder constantly, don't we? I mean, even when we feel like, okay, I'm secure in Christ now. I know who I am. I know he loves me. The devil just comes in there, and we just forget, and we need the reminder.
Yeah. So, well, hopefully you'll be one of those who gets a copy of Lisa's new book. Just came out today, so we're honored that we had a chance to talk with her today. Had a chance to talk with her. I was at a health fair gathering last night and had a chance to talk with a few listeners. One of them, hopefully will be a new listener, but she's a University of Northwestern alum. And was here for some time. They live in Austria now.
Oh, wow.
Her husband actually is working with a Christian radio station in Austria.
Oh, great.
In partnership with Transworld Radio. And so gave her the phone app.
There you go.
Oh, you can listen online or listen on the phone. So that works for you as well. Wherever you are, you can listen on the phone app. And you can find a link on myfaithradio.com, or you can go to the Google Play or the
Google Play on an Android device, or the iTunes Store, of course, for Apple devices. So
and get your app and start listening in. And if you're listening in, maybe on one of our new translators, maybe it's in Waterloo at 93.1, or in Madison at 104.7, or maybe 90.7 in the Twin Cities, and it's new to you. We're glad to have you listening in. And those listening in Hartford and Faith 1290, glad to have you along as well. Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith. We'll talk tomorrow.